Our final case of the day is United States against Idowu.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's a pleasure again.
Mr. Cohen.
There are undisputed facts here. And the undisputed facts are stated in the, so there's no dispute, in the government's brief. They presented evidence that at a time when the defendant was not within a building or a room, they found drugs, and somewhere in there, they found a gun. We have no evidence concerning how big the room is. We have no evidence concerning how many desks were in the room. We have no evidence concerning how many filing cabinets were in the room. We have no evidence concerning whatever was in the room. We have no evidence whether the gun was found in a dropped ceiling. We have no evidence whether the gun was found under boards that were ripped up. We have no evidence how long the police searched to find the gun. 20 minutes, 5 hours, a day, 3 days. The government has, under presumption of evidence, has to prove sufficient evidence so a court can, by the preponderance, find that defendant had some knowledge or some contact with that gun. They have totally failed to do it. That's my position on that first point, plain and simple. I stand for any questions. The second question is, if I may curse, if I may apologize, what the hell does clearly improbable mean? I don't know. Is there any standard? It's not new. It's nothing that's been consistent with American jurisprudence like reasonable doubt or probable cause, that there's a whole history where courts can decide. It's just a term that some people made up in Washington that has no basis, no understanding. It's vague. It's unclear.
You know, made up that term, do you not?
No, I don't.
Stephen Breyer.
So? He, too, can make mistakes. Your Honor, I mean, Supreme Court judges are not infallible.
So far as we are concerned, they are.
Well,
I believe Robert Jackson said, we're infallible because we're final.
You may be infallible because you make the final decision, but there's no showing what it means. There's no standard. And American civilization and American justice depend upon firmness, understanding, and this term doesn't have it. I thank you. I stand for any questions.
Thank you very much. Mr. Eldon.
May it please the Court, Barry Eldon on behalf of the United States. Your Honor, in a trailer, and the evidence doesn't say whether it's bigger or smaller than a FEMA trailer, but it was a trailer. There was an office. Office trailer, described as a room in the pre-sentence report at one point. They found a gun. They found 400 grams of heroin.
They found what?
400 grams of heroin. And they found a .357 Magnum revolver. The defendant pled guilty to constructively possessing the heroin. And the district court reasonably concluded that the defendant also constructively possessed the gun. Guns are tools of the trade of drug dealers and supplied a motive for him to have the gun, and that's what the district court found. The district court's decision was reasonable and therefore not clearly erroneous. The standard in the guidelines of clearly improbable can be construed by this court, has been construed by this court, was construed by the district court as meaning unlikely. But
there's another vague term for you.
Well, more likely than not is certainly a standard that courts are very familiar with.
Hand, to name another person, although Hand never got to the Supreme Court, said he could understand only two burdens. He could understand preponderance of the evidence. He could understand reasonable doubt, he thought, and everything, all these other standards just completely went over his head and confused him.
Well,
but we don't want to say that as a matter of law, any standard that capable of confusing learned hand must violate the Constitution, because the law has quite a lot of them.
That's right, Your Honor. But our fundamental point is the void for vagueness doctrine does not apply to the commentary to sentencing guidelines. The void for vagueness doctrine applies to criminal statutes that have to be looked at, have to be conformed with, have to be followed by ordinary people. And therefore, the Supreme Court has said that the language of the criminal statute has to be understandable to ordinary people and not subject to arbitrary enforcement by the law enforcement authorities. Now, none of that applies here. This is not a criminal statute. This is something for the federal judiciary to construe. It's not going to be subject to discrimination or arbitrary enforcement. If there is any conflict in the interpretations of this particular phrase, this court is available to resolve the conflict. And therefore, we think the defendant's argument as to the guidelines commentary should be rejected. We respectfully request the court to affirm.
Thank you, Mr. Eldon. Anything further, Mr. Cohen?
Yes, please.
Would you please wait till you get to the lectern?
In Crawford, the U.S. Supreme Court said that the responsibility standard is just leaving too many judges having too many things, and it's too varied. The standard would be too vague and not good, and they need something else. Clearly here, whether it's examined by judges or not, it's just too vague. Again, and I repeat, there's just no showing where this item was for a court to be able to say preponderance of the evidence.
By the way, do you think the phrase probable cause is also unconstitutional? That was one of the phrases that Leonard Hand said he never understood.
It is now constitutional because it has been defined so many times by different sets of facts.
It's actually never been defined. The Supreme Court said in Illinois against Gates that it was not capable of being defined.
Well, but it's not defined. But there are things that you could look at, cases where they said there was probable cause and cases where they're not. The only other thing I can say, if you want to see a good photo of Leonard Hand, where I suggest a wonderful book is The Family of Man, which is a book of exhibits of photographs. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, and there's a wonderful photograph of Leonard Hand in there. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement. The court will be in recess until tomorrow.